This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very quietly, late in the evening, the New York Yankees continue to roll. And last night, they didn't need a lot of offense. They scored one measly run early, and Clark Schmidt and the Yankee bullpen made it hold up. They beat the Angels 1-0. They sweep the Angels. They won 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. They had swept Texas. They won 2 out of 3 against the Mets. 2 out of 3 against Seattle. 2 out of 3 against the A's. 2 out of 3 against the Padres. So it is a run that has been going on for a while now since they lost that series to Tampa, where the Yankees just go out and they win series. So great job by them last night. But one thing I found very interesting was Ron Washington finally got the memo. Ron Washington twice in the first two innings, and granted they were easy opportunities with a base open, walked Aaron Judge. And even the second time he walked Aaron Judge, they shared a wink. They shared a, huh, hey, I see what you're doing over there. And I wonder if other teams, specifically the Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend, are going to take a page out of the little Ron Washington playbook and really out of the playbook of how you treat great players, which is, I'm not going to let the great player beat me. I will dare Cody Bellinger or Anthony Volpe or Paul Goldschmidt, whoever that day happens to be hitting one or two or three spots behind Judge, I'll let them beat me because I won't let a guy with a 1,200 OPS beat me. So keep an eye on that because two intentional walks last night in the first two innings.
Well, it's about time. I mean, you want the respect, obviously, for Aaron Judge. You also want the bat in your hand. But at some point, managers had to not pitch to him. I mean, he's down under 400.
I know, what a bum.
He's terrible. 390, but still, you have to, if you have an opportunity to not pitch to him, don't pitch to him.
So I want to give you a stat, and I was doing the math before the show, and this just shows you I'm fair, okay? I am a Met fan. You guys know that. I host the Rico Bronya. I don't enjoy doing what I'm about to do, but I have to give you the craziest Aaron Judge Juan Soto stat known to man. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Obviously, Juan Soto is off to a terrible start. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge is off to a great start. If Aaron Judge went 0 for his next 150, he would still have a higher batting average than Juan Soto.
Oh, God.
I win. That is my favorite. And by favorite, I don't mean like I enjoy it because obviously it pains me. That is my favorite in terms of, wow, that's wacky. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto stat one could come up with. But I want to be fair to you,
what
Sean.
Is that, like 30 games? 35 games?
Basically. It's like 40. Yeah. I want to give you a shot, Sean, as a Yankee fan, to come up with an even crazier anti-Juan Soto stat. So I'm going to give you for the rest of the show, because obviously you can't come up with that right away. This took me hours.
Sure.
Can you top Aaron Judge goes next for for his next 150? He still has a better batting average than Juan Soto. Can you top me with a crazier Judge Soto stat?
It's going to be tough, but I'm up for the challenge.
Okay. Well, we will give you until 5 o'clock today, okay?
Okay.
Fair enough. Tiki, do you think he will come up with a crazier Soto Judge stat?
I'm trying to even think where you would look for a crazy Judge Soto stat.
You know where I looked?
Home runs?
I literally just looked at my brain. I looked at the batting average and said, I wonder how many hitless shot bats Judge would
need. But what else could you do? I guess you could go OPS.
Yeah, it's complicated math, though. That's the problem.
Exactly. That gets too deep.
Yeah.
Batting average is easy to calculate.
Well, I did the easy one because I wanted Sean to actually have to work at this, especially
all right,
math.
Give me time.
Math is very complicated.
Maybe war? You can get a war in there.
How's he going to figure that out?
I don't know.
We don't even know how war works.
That's a good point.
I could definitively say I'm not looking into war. That'll make my head burst.
Well, Juan Soto is hitting. I think it's now down to 226, which is just... It's kind of unbelievable as we sit here post-Memorial Day that Juan Soto's numbers are as horrible as they are. 224, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs with a 745 OPS through 55 games. 224! It's incredible! Now, I know Tony in Lodi is not happy about the Juan Soto situation. Tony, the floor is yours, sir.
Tiki, you talked me through the days of Lindor. I hope you remember me from your old show.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You need to be the voice of reason here. I want to have a productive conversation about Soto.
Okay.
Juan Soto absolutely sucks. He's ruined my life to this point. I can't even talk to my friends in my Yankee Met group chat. I just can't do it. I called out sick from work today.
Oh,
he's
God.
Absolutely disgusted me. When we signed him, I thought this was it. This was the turning point.
Hold on. He's going to be here for a lot of years. A lot and lot of years. And so you can't believe that for the next 15 year or 14 years that it's going to be this bad. At some point, it's going to get right and you're going to feel completely different. Now, Lindor's issue was a little bit different, as I recall, because you hated him. These Met fans hated him because he was disrespecting the Met fan. That's not what Juan Soto's doing. He's just disrespecting his greatness by sucking right now, to your point. But that's not going to last. There's no way it can last. There's something going on mentally or emotionally with him, and he's out of whack. But you started to see it start to come back in their last series. Like, swagger started to show up again. I think he's just got to do it. Like, you got to do what you do best and then get yourself in the right mindset, and then everything else will follow. I think he's mind screwed.
The problem I have with Soto, I'm sorry, but the problem I have with Soto is, at least during the Lindor thing, yes, you brought up the issue I had when Javi Baez came over and the thumbs down. But overall, at least you got that good leadership from Lindor. He was smiling. I mean, this guy's embarrassing the Mets organization out there by not only sucking and rolling over on every ground ball to second base, but he's moping around out there. I make not even a fraction of what that guy makes in a year, but I got to show up with a smile every day. My boss tells me to.
Well, here comes the thing. Well, this is the money. Once the money gets in the way, now all of a sudden, that's when you can't argue, right? Because, he's not earning his almost $500,000 paycheck per game or whatever the heck it is. I know it's something ridiculous. But my point is, Juan Soto knows this. But I also think Juan Soto doesn't know how to be the highest paid player in baseball and what that comes with. And he's not naturally a leader like Lindor is or like Judge is. He's more of a, I'm going to do by example and you're going to be motivated by it. And that's how he's had his entire career. He's only 27 years old, 26, 27 years old. He's still very young. And he's got still a lot to learn. I know he's making so much money. We want to just assume that he's this, I'll use this term again, fully baked superstar. He's not. He's a young star. And he's got to learn how to be a great leader.
Do you believe he called out a sick work because Juan Soto sucks?
No, I don't think so.
That's what he said.
I think he just said, hey, I'm working from home today.
Okay. That's not really calling out of work, but still. Like, he's so disgusted by Juan Soto, he called his boss and said, I can't work today. Like, I'm so just disgusted by how bad he is at baseball. I will correct him about something. And it's easy to fall into this because history changes. Our memories change.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They just naturally do. So he talked about Lindor's first year here. Francisco Lindor, well, at least he was smiling. At least he was a leader. That is crap. That is not true. Number one, I don't think he was smiling all the time. Like, no. I think Lindor actually pulled a Shawn Michaels and lost his smile when he was struggling. That's number one. Number two, a leader? Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
He's a leader now. He's an amazing leader now. This guy sat at a press conference. I just sent Tommy the audio, so I'm not sure if we could play it right away just to remind people. But he sat at a press conference after a Met game and lied to everybody about a fight that occurred with him and Jeff McNeil and claimed, we were arguing if it's a rat or a raccoon. And we can laugh about it now because it's over.
Think about that.
It's absurd.
A rat or a raccoon. Seriously? How the hell could you make any... How could you be confused about that?
Because it wasn't real.
Of course it wasn't. It was a lie.
So think about this for a second. And I'm glad he brought up Lindor because I was already queued up to bring this up. Francisco Lindor in his first year as a New York Met. And granted, Soto's year's not over yet. He's still playing. A lot can happen. A lot of bad stuff can happen, right? Jury's still out. A lot of good stuff can happen, too. In his first year, he didn't smile as much. He sucked. I'm going to give you numbers to prove worse than Juan Soto. And then got into a fight with Jeff McNeil, in which reportedly, it's basically been confirmed, he choked McNeil against a wall in the locker room in the middle of a game.
Wow.
To which everyone had to run down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So for anyone who forgot, middle of a game, all of a sudden the TV camera showed the entire Met locker room running, or Met clubhouse running towards the locker room, running down the stairs. It looked very strange. After the game, Lindor is asked, hey, what happened? And he concocts this story about, well, me and Jeff, we were arguing if it was a raccoon or a rat. McNeil joins in on the lie. And then the manager at the time, Luis Rojas, played his game beautifully. He was just like, I don't know what's going on. What? Huh? Was there a baseball game happening? Oh, I have no idea. And so that's what happened. And then, oh, by the way, a few months later, Lindor, who was hearing boos, decided to thumb down Met fans. Remember the whole thumbs down thing? Like, that was his first year here. It was as bad of a first year as a human could have. And through 55 games, I gave you Soto's numbers through 55 games, 224, 745 OPS, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs. Want to hear Lindor's numbers through 55 games?
Let's hear him.
214, so that's 10 points less. 644 OPS, that's 100 points less. 5 home runs, 13 RBIs. So I don't want to hear it. Like, he was worse than Soto through 55 games.
Yeah, but he also... wasn't paid $70 million a year.
He was paid $300 million.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's $30-something million dollars a year now, versus 70.
I want to take you.
It's just, it's double.
I want to take you back to that night in case you forgot, because sometimes we need to remind ourselves how bad Lindor's first year was. And by the way, I love Lindor. This is not about knocking Francisco Lindor. It's actually a great story that he's turned into such an incredible leader. There was an awesome article in The Athletic this morning talking about some of the things he does as a leader. Like, for example, at the end of every series, he goes up to every player, looks into their eyes and says, how we doing? How we feeling? Mm-hmm. Tell me what's on your mind. And it's great. Like, he is clearly a leader and money well spent. It's been beautiful. I love Francisco Lindor. I will gladly wear his jersey now. He has earned that as a New York Met. But here he is, a few months into his Met career, lying after he reportedly choked Jeff McNeil.
What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because if we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Come on.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Why did, you know, kind of half the dugout bench kind of rush down there and see where you and Jeff were?
Because of the rat, man. They couldn't believe that we were going back and forth between a raccoon and a rat. I swear this thing was pretty big.
You know, the reason it's important to play this is to show you, as bad as things are with Juan Soto right now, it hasn't reached that point. That's embarrassing.
He was really convincing himself.
And I don't know if he's ever come out and talked about this where he just admits it.
He didn't break from the story once.
No,
that's pretty damn good. Hey, why did everybody else come there? I don't know. They were just interested because we were debating over a rat or a raccoon.
Imagine that.
How the hell is a raccoon getting in the stadium? I understand a rat.
I love how you're figuring that part out.
A raccoon doesn't make any sense.
Now, I'll tell you something so naive that I had after that game. So the Mets won that game. True story. Mm-hmm. Mets won that game. And because they won and things were looking okay with the team, rat or raccoon became a rally cry. It didn't last because the team ended up falling apart, so it didn't have the staying power that Grimace did. But rat or raccoon was actually shown on the scoreboard a couple of times. Like, ha-ha, rat or raccoon. So it was embraced for a brief period of time. But when you look back on it now, you realize how much of a mess that was. And think about this part, Met fans. This has to make you feel good. They're both still there. Like, they're a double play combination. So obviously they were able to make it work. They may not be best friends, clearly, but clearly there's a respect and it's okay. So as bad as things have been with Juan Soto and we try to make them bigger deals, I will argue with anybody who tries that the Lindor first year was a bigger disaster so far than the Soto first year.
Yeah, but I think Lindor's issue is different because it was interpersonal. I don't think Juan Soto, maybe he does, we just aren't hearing about it, but I don't think that Juan Soto has interpersonal issues with guys on this team. And maybe he's not as tight as he was with Judge and all those guys last year where they're doing all the, I don't know, the celebrations after big hits and home runs and all the, you know, stuff that you see that makes it feel like, oh, they're a tight-knit group. Maybe he hasn't found that yet with the Mets, but I don't think it's an interpersonal issue.
And that's a good thing.
I think it's just a performance issue.
And Lindor had both, because, again, I gave you Lindor's numbers. They were awful, plus he had those issues. Soto's issues right now, besides stories that are just made up, like, oh, he hates it here and he's miserable, is just the fact that he's not performing. And nobody can deny that. He isn't performing. And, you know, I went over Mark Teixeira's numbers because I've used him as an example. I do want to give Teixeira a little bit of credit. His first 32 games were statistics that are worse than Juan Soto's. But at game 33, that's when his turnaround began. So his turnaround began earlier than Soto's turnaround.
Yeah,
you know, some guys, it takes longer for their turnaround to occur.
But that's going to happen with Soto, too. You just don't know when it's going to happen.
But when's it going to happen, Tiki? Give me a date.
I told you it was probably going to be around the All-Star break.
All-Star break.
He needs a break and a disconnect. Look, he's not making the All-Star team, obviously. So you get a week or so off. You go, I don't know, do something, chill out, and stop thinking about the game and come back fresh. So I'm going to say All-Star break.
I give you a prediction. You know when he's going to break out of it?
When?
Tomorrow night.
Why?
I just have a feeling. I just think it's over.
I think he's about to break out of it.
This will be the fourth or fifth feeling that you've had.
Oh, have I had a few of them?
I guess I have. Yeah, because obviously it was the Yankee series.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's the Rockies. Like, oh, the Rockies are coming to town. I know the White Sox were just in town, but the White Sox can actually pitch a little bit. He's just going to fatten up against the Rockies, and he's going to get red hot. That's my prediction. Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Tiki and I'm Ivan. Listen, I want to ask you a serious question because, and this is serious, because sometimes we embellish people's records and their stats. Juan Soto, and this is serious, gentlemen, a man that averaged 26 home runs and 89 RBIs, do you know that Pete Alonso and his years in the majors have better home run and RBI average per season? So my question is, why we talk about Juan like Alex Rodriguez or Al?
Well, we got to let you go because your phone's cut now. Why do we talk about Juan Soto so highly? Because you just cited two numbers. What about the rest of the numbers? What about on-base percentage? What about OPS? What about slugging? What about batting average? Like, Juan Soto is a far superior hitter to Pete Alonso. I love Pete. He's a Met. He's done more for me as a Met fan. But I don't think we over-embellish Juan Soto. He is what he is. He's a tremendous hitter. And he's certainly a lot better than what the numbers he's put up so far.
And he got paid a lot of money because of his free agency at the right age.
Yes. You know,
this is a different era, and he comes up and he's held or kept down and doesn't accrue those seasons. Then Juan Soto is just like every other big star, like Aaron Judge, getting paid at 30, 31 years old, and it's not going to be $700 million.
Absolutely.
But he's available at 26. Like you have him in his prime for a decade at least.
You're talking about a 26-year-old with a 950 career OPS. That player is going to get paid. That's it, and he should 100%. Get paid. That's it. It's forget about the individual numbers or compared to this guy or compared to that guy. You hit on a Teak. He's 26 years old, career 950 OPS, free agency. How often did those things happen all at the same time? It's very, very rare.
Very.
And right now, his career OPS is 950. His OPS this year is 740. So obvious. There's your disappointment. It's not like he's putting up his career numbers. He's struggling. Marty's in Hoboken. Hey, Marty. Hey, Marty, what's
up? Hey, guys. Yeah, he's been in New York already with the Yankees for a year. That New York thing, that pressure in New York thing should be blown the hell out. Forget about that. The Yankees are a better team.
I think it's more about him trying to live up to the number he's making.
To the money. To the money. Yeah, I think I agree totally. But yeah, the Yankees are in such a great situation right now. They're just sitting back. They got Rodon pitching unbelievable. Max Fried. They lost Cole. Who cares? Luis Gil's coming back. You got Chad Chisholm coming back. I mean, the Yankees are going to breeze through the American League this year.
No doubt. They're breezing right now through the American League East. And a lot of it is how good they are, especially the top of the rotation. We saw Clark Schmidt deliver a really good performance yesterday, and I think we're forgetting how good he was last year because he missed a little bit of time and got off to a shakier start. But when you look at Rodon and Fried at the top of the rotation and now Clark Schmidt and the way Will Warren's thrown, they've got a hell of a rotation. The back end of their bullpen is loaded, and their offense is so spread out right now. And I think that's one of the big differences from last year, as Luis Severino made the joke, it's two guys and no one else. That's not the case this year. It's one guy and then a lot of good players, guys who are having good years like Ben Rice and Trent Grisham and Paul Goldschmidt. And they're very good. And no doubt, I agree with you. The AL East is over. I said that a few days ago and Sean thought I was joking. I'm not joking. The division's over.
Is it eight now? What happened? I forget what... It was seven yesterday, right?
It was seven yesterday, and then let's see where it is right now. I forgot. How'd the Blue Jays do last night? How'd the Rays do?
It is still seven.
Yeah, the Rays and Blue Jays won, so it's seven on Tampa, and it's eight on Toronto, and it's 9.5 on the sinking Red Sox, who I think are cooked with this Alex Bregman injury, and they've lost five in a row.
Now, before you say the Red Sox are cooked, the Yankees have yet to play them this year.
What does that mean?
Red Sox could sweep them twice.
They're not going to, bro.
I don't think they will, but those games will be important. You know, the Red Sox will get jacked up. But this is how you do know the AL East is over. All three of us forgot to check the lead this morning, which means it is long over.
That's a good point. When you have such a big lead that you forget.
You're not worried about it.
Yeah, I completely forgot. I was like, what happened yesterday? I didn't even look. I didn't have anyone in fantasy in the Toronto-Texas game. That's why I took a break from it. But yeah, I agree. The division's over. And a lot of that is a testament to how good this team is, how loaded they are. But it doesn't answer the Soto debate. Because I know during the offseason there was a lot of they're better off without Juan Soto. And remember, it's a very nuanced thing. In the short term, the answer has been yes.
Yeah,
but in the long term, the answer is probably going to be no.
True, but I also don't think they're better off without Juan Soto. I think they've you give credit to Brian Cashman for filling the voids. Not even the voids, but taking the money that would have been used for Juan Soto and using it very prudently.
Well, the question is, Teak, if they had kept Soto, like Soto agreed to the Yankee deal, mm-hmm. who are they not going to spend money on? And that's the thing we don't know. Like, would they still have gone after Max Fried?
And that's a big one. Because if they don't go after Max Fried and but don't have
they,
the ace.
I think they had to because I think they knew about Gerrit Cole.
Well, that's right? different. Because, if they did, yeah.
Right, because we were somewhat talking about this last season. And they probably knew because remember, you know, the issue at the beginning of the year, he worked his way through it, he pitched through it, so they probably knew at some point that he was going to require some kind of procedure, and so they needed an arm. Max Fried just happened to be available, but if they had signed Soto, would they have given Max Fried 8 years? I doubt it.
Back to your phone calls coming up at 888-808-1019. A lot of Knicks fans nervous and excited about Game 5 tonight, plus Juan Soto's recent slump. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder for the second time in the Oklahoma City version of the franchise, because, of course, they came from Seattle, where they did make the NBA Finals a couple of times. But for the second time as the Oklahoma City Thunder, they did advance to the NBA Finals, destroying the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'll tell you this. I give some advice to the Timberwolves. I think they got to trade Anthony Edwards. I think they got to sell him off. I think they got to trade him.
Why?
Because I want him, Tiki. This is an ulterior motive sports opinion.
Oh, wait, does this count as the 30 seconds of the Nets?
Yeah, can you set the clock? Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I advise the Minnesota Timberwolves, if they know it's right for the future of their franchise, that they should get as many assets and draft picks as they possibly can get so they can give Anthony Edwards what he wants and what he needs. And what he wants and what he needs is New York City. What he wants and what he needs is Brooklyn, New York. What he wants and what he needs is his own franchise to call his own. Anthony Edwards needs Brooklyn. Brooklyn needs Anthony Edwards. And I advise the Minnesota Timberwolves to trade him immediately to the Brooklyn Nets for all of the picks the Nets got for Mikal Bridges. That is all. Nice. That's our Nets clock. It stopped.
Minnesota will be...
The Nets still in the league.
Left with Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo.
Yes. Julius, Dante, and a bunch of teenagers exactly. with draft picks. But before the Western Conference Finals began, as we do around here, we made predictions. And instead of just making predictions to fill airtime and then have it disappear, we keep those predictions just to see how we did. So let's go to the prediction desk with Tommy Lugauer. Tommy, who should we hear from first?
Let's hear from Tiki Barber first. Teak, what you got?
I think the Thunder and six.
The Thunder in six. Now, the correct answer for those that were not paying attention was Thunder in five. So, very close, Tiki, but not quite correct. Who we got next?
Sean Marash.
I think the Thunder win in seven like they did versus Denver.
Yeah, way off on that one. You thought that was going to be a seven-game series?
As I choke on water, no. Deep down, I thought the Thunder would blow them out, but I was trying to give respect to the Minnesota.
Yeah, well, that worked out well for you.
Why?
Why? Because of their owner.
Oh, that's right, the great A-Rod. Tommy Lugauer, what was your prediction? Let's hear that.
The Minnesota Timberwolves will beat the Thunder in six games.
I got to defend Tommy. That was pure emotion because remember at the beginning of the postseason, he really wanted this Knicks-Timberwolves NBA Finals.
That's right.
Yeah, and I know that Tommy actually didn't think Minnesota would beat Oklahoma City.
Right. I'm going to defend him. Keep leaning into it. It's all good, Tommy.
Yeah, we respect that. And what was my prediction?
I predict Oklahoma City in five.
Victory is mine. I was leaning towards saying Oklahoma City in four. I thought they were going to annihilate Minnesota. And the rest of that clip, which you shouldn't include, it's fine, is that they're going to beat whoever they play next in five as well. Four or five, whether it's the Knicks or whether it's the Pacers. And watching the Thunder and going back to that Denver series where they got their sweat, I think the Thunder have now completed that close kind of scare, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put up statistics that tell you they are not just about to win an NBA championship. They are one of the most dominant teams we have seen in our lifetime. And I know that's weird to think about, but the stats tell you that.
Didn't the odds already come out for regardless of who they're playing and they're going to be a big favorite
yes.
no matter what?
Yes. They will be massive favorites against either the Indiana Pacers or the New York Knicks. They're winning their first championship.
Do you think it was safe to say in August that Ihart was closer to a championship once he signed with Oklahoma City than if he stayed with the Knicks?
Yeah, of course. Why do you ask?
Oh, some on this show disagreed and fought with that and said that was ridiculous.
But you know what? You're going to take the L on this. That doesn't mean anything unless you're here to supply the Tommy Lugauer audio of him saying that.
Oh, don't worry. I have the audio after the Knicks elimination.
Oh, you're saving it?
Well, yeah, because the series isn't over yet, as you said.
All right, touche, sir. Touche.
I was just about to say, I didn't realize they had a parade in Oklahoma City for the Thunder. They're in the finals. They didn't win the championship yet.
They have not won the championship yet, but I think you would admit watching them, especially the way they dismantled Minnesota, and the way they are so relentless defensively, that they're going to win the NBA title. I mean, this is going to be... I'm going to watch the NBA Finals no matter what it is, obviously. Obviously, if the Knicks are there, we'll be all over it. I think the Thunder are going to make quick work of whoever the hell they play. I think it's actually going to be a terrible NBA Finals, and they're going to win a championship. You know that. Do you not know that, Tommy?
I'm not falling for your games. I said all season long...
It's not a game.
I said all year long the Thunder were the best team in the league, but I did say in August, and Sean will provide the audio, that I thought the Knicks were closer to a championship than the Thunder were at that time. When the season is over, the full season is over, we can look back on everything and I will comment on it.
All right, fair enough, because it isn't over yet. We know the Thunder are in the NBA Finals. We're not sure who their opponent is going to be. So congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder dismantling the T-Wolves last night and advancing to the NBA Finals for the first time since the young Durant-Westbrook-Harden team got to the Finals and lost to the Heatles in five. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. How are you today, Chris?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
What's up?
A couple of things about the Knicks. I think I'm positive. I think they will. I think they will win the series. I think they'll come back and do it. But I think that I agree with you, Evan. I think if they lose tonight, kind of a poor fashion, I think that there is going to be a thought that, hey, this wasn't even worth it in the end. So I think a lot's riding on how tonight goes.
I think the way we view attacking this offseason is going to be decided based on tonight's result. I really do. I think losing in five is going to lead to a lot more. Can you win with this head coach discussion? Can you win with your two best players being liabilities defensively discussion? I think if you lose in seven, it's easier to say, well, we're one win away from the NBA Finals. Are we really making all of those changes? So yeah. I think that's what changes whether they win or lose tonight.
And so much of it is going to depend on what the game looks like tonight. I mean, the Knicks better have urgency and energy the entire time. We talked about it from a fan standpoint, but from the players, they can't have these post-game conferences or press availabilities where they're saying, yeah, they wanted it more. Yeah, they had more fire.
Can you imagine that in an elimination game?
No, it's just it's bizarre. I appreciate that they do say it. Because it's obvious, like we see it. So don't tell us something that we're not seeing, right? I'm hustling. What are you talking about, Juan Soto? Right? We see you're not hustling. At least the Knicks are telling us exactly what we're observing. But the why is the question. Like the follow up to those, I think it was Mikal Bridges who had that audio we listened to yesterday. But the follow up should have been why?
Yeah.
Like why did they have more fire and more energy than you? And how do you change that? Like that's not what happened because we saw it, but why did it happen is more interesting.
Yeah, and there's been too much of that throughout this postseason. There's been too much of that, you know, effort called into question by your own guys. The urgency was the key word that was used. I think it was in the Boston series. Like, that can't happen.
No.
That can't happen in the postseason. And the one that jumped out at me more than anything was the second half of Game 4. Like, how does that happen? Yeah. You're down 2-1, you're on the road, you're down by five, you're still in the game, obviously, and there's a question in terms of effort to come out of the gate in the third quarter, and I think they even tried that stupid little layup line shtick, and that didn't even work. Let's go to Frank and Scotch Plains. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Evan, how are you? Team,
what's up?
Tiki, how are you? So, Evan, you pushed back on me on this about a week ago. Regarding my thoughts, the Knicks are not going to win against the Pacers in a shootout. It's not if they need to slow the game down, right?
Right.
And how? Right. Just hear me out.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to. The Pacers are more athletic, faster, and I hate to say it, they're all around they're better shooters. So I don't know what the answer is or how to do it, but slow the game down. And I think maybe that might work if the Knicks shoot better, as opposed to throwing up bricks and then the rebound goes
out. No, you're right. You're right. Sometimes it's the best way to stop a high-octane offense is to force them to take the ball out of the net after a made shot. And think about it. Other than game one, where the Knicks were mostly in control and should have won the game, they've shot under 50% in each of these games. So, yes, a good offense will go a long way. But I think the other thing they need to do is they got to get physical with Tyrese Halliburton. And look, if the whistle goes against you and there's a couple of quick fouls on Bridges and Brunson and everyone that ends up on him because you're switching all the time, that sucks. But I think that's your best way to go about it. I think you got to get very physical with Tyrese Halliburton. And I think that'll go a long way to try to slow down what's been a high-octane offense or put pressure on him constantly like what the Thunder do defensively.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges, though, to doing that is that Tibbs doesn't play enough of his bench. So if you get guys in foul trouble, you're going to have guys off the bench playing who he doesn't want out there or he doesn't trust out there. And so what are you going to bring guys in just to foul? You know, to be physical? Bring P.J. Tucker, get some minutes in the Eastern Conference Finals?
You're not fouling necessarily. I mean, the whistle may not go your way, so sure, you can get into foul trouble, but you're there to just put more pressure on them. And they've got guys, whether it's Landry Shamet or DeLon Wright, we've already seen in this series, like, Tom Thibodeau's gone to these guys.
But what Halliburton does so well is he gets rid of the ball when he starts to feel that kind of pressure. And he doesn't turn it over. I think you pressure him and you get physical with him, so you get in his head and you force him to turn the ball over. He doesn't do that. So, I mean, maybe we just don't give him enough credit because we just don't like him, but he's been fantastic, especially in game four.
Right now, if the Indiana Pacers hold on and win this series, Tyrese Halliburton is the favorite to win the Eastern Conference Finals MVP award, which I think is named after Larry Bird. Isn't that what it is? The Larry Bird Award? Now, they created this award about 4 years ago, so it's very, very new. It follows what baseball does, where there's a league championship series MVP. We don't have that in the NFL. We should, by the way. I'm proposing that we now have an AFC Championship and NFC Championship MVP. We should have that. It is named after Larry Bird.
The Larry Bird Trophy.
The Larry Bird Trophy, which is the Eastern Conference Finals MVP Award. Would you like that in football, Teak?
I think it should, especially because in the NFL, you have like that two-week period between. So it would be celebrated. You know, like you'd be the Eastern, whatever, NFC MVP, you'd be the AFC MVP, and you'd have something to laud a guy over for 3 or 4 days of the 2 weeks that you have between the Super Bowl.
So
they definitely should.
Here's the real question. Now it's up to you. You were on the field. Who would have won retroactively the NFC Championship MVP award from 2000?
Kerry, not even close.
Because he threw for 5 touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean,
that's probably the answer.
Two for 300 and something yards.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
We all knew it, too.
But you guys shut him out, so shouldn't it be someone defensively?
Shutout's pretty impressive. It was the offensive destruction.
Yeah, but you forced Culpepper to throw 3 interceptions. You can't give it to somebody on defense?
Yeah, but who?
I don't know.
Who had the 3 interceptions?
You tell me.
I don't remember.
Can you name any of the guys that got an interception? I have the list in front of me. Name one guy.
Sean Williams.
Sean Williams did not have an interception. You're wrong. So you're 0-1. But it was a good try.
Seahorn?
Sean Williams had a sack. Jason Seahorn did have an interception. Look at that.
Not Jesse. I'm going to say...
Jesse had a sack.
I'm going to say Sam Garns.
Look at you. You got two. Are you ready for the third guy?
I don't know.
Can I guess if he doesn't?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's got to be our man.
Who?
Emac.
Who's Emac?
Emmanuel McDaniel.
Emmanuel McDaniel is...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Correct. The call. Those are the three guys that had
interceptions. That's the only, I didn't remember the other two. That was the only interception I remember in the game.
That's the one. Right. Yeah, you're probably right. That one's easy. That's clearly a Kerry Collins wins the NFC Championship MVP award. But I like that. When the NBA added it, I thought I mocked it at first. Then I'm realizing, like, that's kind of cool. Like, we have an NLCS MVP. We have an ALCS MVP. So why the hell not? Let's go to Bob in Keyport. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, you were talking before about that Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, the stats comparisons.
Yeah.
There's one stat that really stands out. If Aaron Judge would bet 0 for his next 500 for the season, Juan Soto would bet 500 for those next 500 at-bats, he still wouldn't be on the Yankees.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I got a fact check.
I got lost on that one.
What he's claiming is, all right, so what I claimed earlier, if you're just tuning in, and I'm not claiming it, it's true. I did the math. If Aaron Judge went in an 0 for 150 batting slump, he would still have a higher batting average than Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. And I said to Sean, I think that's the craziest anti-Soto pro-Judge stat you could find. I dare you over the next 2 hours to find one more impressive. Our last caller is claiming that if Aaron Judge goes 0 for his next 500, even if Soto went 250 for his next 500, Judge would have a better batting average? I find that to be very incorrect. There's no way that's the case. And hold on, I'm taking my calculator out now.
0 for 500.
0 for 500, and Soto goes 250 for 500. There's no way that's the case. No way.
That's damn near the rest of the season.
By the way, let me do the math here. So that would be 707 plate appearance or bats for Aaron Judge. He has 81 hits. So 81 hits, 707. That would be a 115 batting average. So no break.
Not even close.
Come on.
What was the second part of his point?
I think that Soto would hit 500 in those at bats. That's that.
No, say, but he said something about not being a Yankee. I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
Oh, I think he just got confused. He was just very excited about his Judge stat, which is not true. See, here's the challenge in the Aaron Judge Juan Soto game, which is a game that it's open to everybody because it is fun, even if you're a Met fan, because we can laugh at ourselves. It's okay. We'll be fine. We'll be okay. You got to be accurate with it. You can't just make it up and just say, that's the case.
So, Sean, don't be making up a stat just to satisfy Evan's request.
I'm actually going to give him two stats.
Oh. You already got two. You got two stats you're ready to go with?
I'm finishing the second stat.
All right. Just so you know, Aaron Judge is hitting 391. If he went 0 for his next 150, it would drop his average to 227. That 227 is higher than Juan Soto's current batting average. So that's my point. Just to show my work on the claim that I'm making. Let's go to Bob and Comac. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you? Great show. Listen, Tiki, you were talking about the Knicks creating their own shot. And, you know, obviously they got to improve defensively. I don't know. Hopefully that happens. I don't know. But Mikal Bridges, I think, is killing us offensively. 12 for 33 the last two games.
Yeah.
He's shooting 40% for the playoffs. If we do not get any help from Bridges and or Ananobi, we're doomed.
Yeah,
because they're running curls for this guy at the end off the baseline that I knew were not going to go in. I'm saying, run him for McBride. He's got a better chance of hitting these shots.
No, you're
He's
right.
Been horrific.
No, you're right about that. The challenge, though, is that We talked a lot in this series about the fatigue of the Knicks. And if you're chasing around the pace of this Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton in particular, as Mikal Bridges does for most of this game, just think about now coming off an action and then trying to square up and take a shot. It's too much for him, I think. And it's why when your bench is short, these guys get worn out. And so I you blame them because you should be conditioned for this. This is what we laud Tom Thibodeau about in the regular season, playing these guys a ton of minutes so that they'll be ready for it when it matters the most in the postseason. But in real time, you can't change the fact that you're tired. And that's what's plaguing them, it looks like.
Mikal Bridges, of course, has played every playoff game. He is averaging exactly 40 minutes per game. And this is off a year in which he played 82 games and averaged 37 minutes per game.
Right.
Dan is in Garden City. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hey, Evan. How are you doing?
We're good. What's up?
What's up?
Nice to talk to you guys. I believe the Knicks have a 60% chance of winning tonight. I'm a longtime Knicks fan. And I see their strengths, I see their weaknesses. I think it's ridiculous to talk about removing Thibodeau, even if they lose tonight. When you've accomplished something that hasn't happened in 25 years, who's better out there? I mean, if you want to get rid of Thibodeau, who do you want? I would say that there's only one guy.
Michael Malone?
No.
Who?
I would want Van Gundy.
Yeah, that's
who was a defensive.
You know, even though he's back on a staff now, so good for him. Like, if you want to get back into coaching, I think the best way to do it is be on a staff, not be a broadcaster. That's just going into the past. And honestly, I don't think Jeff would do it. Jeff Van Gundy used to employ Tom Thibodeau. I'm sure there's a loyalty there in which he wouldn't want to do it. But before we fire Tom Thibodeau, understand why you don't factor in the last 25 years when you make decisions about the team. And you shouldn't. Because, yes, as a Knicks fan, this is the new golden era of Knicks basketball. For anyone under the age of 30, this is the golden era of Knicks basketball. But that's not why you're making decisions. You're making a decision to say, how do I get to the next level? What gives me the best chance to get to the next level? Can I get there with this head coach? By the way, I do have to correct something because I've gotten numerous text messages that caller who called in the last 5 minutes.
Yes.
Pulled a massive joke on Yankee fans that went over our heads. The caller called up, and thank you to a bunch of people, including Big Mac, who will be debuting his new Saturday show at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Big Mac was the latest one to text me. I got like seven of these. That the caller saying if Aaron Judge goes 0 for his next 500 and Juan Soto hits 500, it won't change the fact that Juan Soto isn't a Yankee. So he was mocking Yankee fans by saying, no matter what stat you want to throw at me, he's not a Yankee. Get over it. Wow. And
see,
that's what he was saying.
I heard that, but you cut him too quick. And so I didn't catch it. So.
I got to defend myself. I only cut him because his phone sucked.
Right, that too. But saying. I was like, wait, that last point probably meant something, but I just couldn't hear it.
That's what he meant, though. That is at least the reaction from a lot of people in our audience that he was a Met fan, basically mocking the Yankee fan, saying, hey, no matter what number you got.
Right, the stats don't matter.
Right, he's going to be a Met, and he's not going to be a Yankee. Get over it.
Right, by the way, for Met fans who are anxious about Juan Soto, that same thing applies. It doesn't matter. He's going to be a Met for a long time, period.
Yeah, and look, if you're going to make a joke at Yankee fans, I think that's cool, but the bigger joke is your phone service because that was terrible and none of us heard it.
That happens. Sometimes you drive through like weird. There's an area of the Hutch I drive in. Every time I get there, my phones go out.
How come Ozzie can never be driving there and there when he calls?
Wow.
Because Ozzie's at home preparing his presentation.
That's right. He doesn't leave his compound. He's preparing his WFAN phone call.
Can I ask a real quick question? And Sean can answer this, and maybe McMonagle could text. At the law firm at McPherson, McMonagle, and Morash, does an alarm go off every time we mention Juan Soto? Because our buddy didn't text us for the first hour and a half when he's a Knicks fan. He didn't have anything to say about the Knicks. Mm. The second you mention Juan Soto, Chris gets on his phone. I mean, you could ask. You're part of the law firm. Do you get like an alarm? Do you get an email? Is something go off? A notification on your phone?
Buddy, we don't need an alarm.
Okay.
Juan Soto's hitless at-bats are enough for us to wake us up and sniff around.
Now, what if Juan Soto gets hot? Like, does the law firm shut down, or does the law firm
that
say
is
it doesn't
where,
matter?
If Juan Soto gets hot, that's where I buy out of my law firm, and I go solo, and I've been very careful about not, you know, on the grave like C-Mac and Keith have. Because he's going to get hot.
I think so. I hope so.
I'm distancing myself from that take. I'll fight other wars.
When we come back, speaking of the New York Yankees, a comment was made the other night that will pump you up as a New York Yankee fan and rekindle your belief that this team can win a World Series. We'll get to what that is, plus more of your calls. Knicks get set for a huge Game 5 tonight. We'll hear from Bantiki at 4:30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.